Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it sing out, let it rain, let it rain, open up the gates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain, open up the gates of heaven,
come on!
Rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples will see his glory. Oh, we want to see your glory, God. Oh, God, we want to see your glory. You want to see his glory? Lift your voices. Lift your hands. We want to see your glory, God. Oh, send down your power. Oh, God, send your glory. We want to see you move in our generations, oh, God.
Hallelujah, you are live. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, broadcasting live from Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This segment is the long-awaited segment of the Lord. Before we introduce the message of the Lord, would like to introduce on line in the studio by phone for this evening is Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California altar, and we thank the Lord for Pastor Jose. And also on the line, I believe, is Pastor Raymond Raffel from the Maryland altar. I'm your co-host for this evening's segment. My name is Pastor Louis Lupo, also of Maryland altar. This evening's segment is just two scriptures, beginning with Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Just two verses, Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And this is the long-awaited segment that we were sharing earlier in the messages of the Lord, that when the Lord sent his servant, the mighty prophet, and revealed the secrets of the kingdom of God in heaven to the church, we established early on that the prophecies are for the church. The message is for the church so that the church enters, so that the bride of Christ enters. We need to remember that the prophet is one of encouragement as well as the voice and authority of the Lord. Also one that rebukes sin, introduces holiness of the Lord into the church and many other facets. And this is one of the encouraging facets here in this evening's segment for all of the precious listeners throughout the United States and globally. The two extremely encouraging scriptures. One, it's never been taught before anywhere. They don't teach this in theology school because the Holy Spirit cannot be taught but by the mighty Holy Spirit. You won't hear this in the rumor court because it's not of flesh and blood. You won't hear this in the speculation arena either. This is revelation straight from the throne of the Lord for the church, for her encouragement and edification. And we're going to hear the secrets of the kingdom of God in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is segment is the oil and wine church, where we will hear what the Lord says from the throne. It's in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, and what the Lord is saying to the church at this hour, to this generation, to the church today, in a world that is growing dimmer, yet the righteous are growing righteous, albeit the wicked growing more wicked. This is for the church's edification and growth, that she feast on the oil and wine. Before we get to the message of the Lord for this evening's segment, as you know, we've gone through the pale horse. We started with the first horse of the apocalypse, the white horse, the red horse of war. The white horse was deception. The black horse was famine, economic famine. And then the pale horse, the rider of death. And in the famine, we will get more detail and greater depth today. Just one scripture, two verses, Amos chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. This is Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. And we see that not only is there economic famine and scarcity of food, but clearly here in the United States, a scarcity of the word of the Lord. And more detail on that from the mighty prophet, as he will share. Before we get to the message of the Lord, Pastor Jose from the California altar, this is a segment that been waiting for a while and are thrilled to share with the end time saints in the United States. What has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening's segment, Pastor Jose?
Amen. Amen, Pastor Lou. Shalom, Pastor Lou and Pastor Raymond. And shalom to all the precious people, all the precious saints that are tuned in to hear the message of the Lord. Yes, precious saints, this is a powerful message, because the oil and the wine church is the church that will be raptured. It is the church that the Holy Spirit is preparing right now as the bride of Christ. This is the church that will see the Messiah. that has been long awaited of old, since Isaiah the prophet prophesied in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 when he saw the rapture, the dead raptured. This is the day that is coming, the day that our Lord will return for his bride. This is a very powerful message, and those who have been tuned in and who have been hearing the message of the Lord, given the ears to listen to the message of the Lord and the eyes to see. As the word of the Lord says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Precious saints, if you are listening to this message and the Lord is touching your heart, the Holy Spirit is touching your heart, please surrender to the Lord. It is time to prepare. This is what gives the bride that is waiting for the bridegroom the oil that we know that in Matthew 25 is what separates the foolish and the wise virgins. Those are two very similar churches, and we can see them very clearly. I know we have fellowshipped with Pastor Lou on this subject, and we can see that there is hardly no distinction between the two unless the Holy Spirit reveals this to you, because there's two very similar. And just like in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, these are two churches that are waiting for the return of the bridegroom. So they both know the hour we are living in. Both know we are at that particular time. They both are waiting, but we know what one of them lacks. They lack the oil, and we know that the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And we know that if you lack the Holy Spirit, you lack the word of the Lord. Because the true word of the Lord, because only the Holy Spirit reveals the word of the Lord, reveals the message of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Precious saints, this is what we have been receiving. This is what the oil and the wine church has been feeding on for these last years. We have been eating, partaking of the hot bread, the hot manna directly from heaven. We are witnesses, precious saints, of this magnificent revival. This magnificent revival that has been announced to the nations, that this is the largest revival in the complete history of the Bible. This is historic times, precious saints. These are the days that those powerful prophets, those powerful servants of the Lord that we have read about for years, longed to see. We're eagerly waiting for, as heaven is also eagerly waiting for this day, for the marriage supper of the Lamb. As we have shared in the past message of the Lord, the broadcast of the Lord, that the day the bride is taken, the day that the bridegroom returns for his bride, is the day that the fruit of the cross is established. As we know that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then us who remain will be caught up in the air to meet them. This is the day that that perfect job that the Messiah did on the cross, the fruits of that perfect job will be established. These are the days to surrender to the Lord in complete repentance, to seek the holiness of the Lord, his righteousness. Heaven is open, precious saints. We have heard the prophecies of the Lord, that the glory of the Lord is being poured out around the globe. The glory of the Lord is here among us. We have seen the fruits of this revival with our very own eyes. We have been allowed to witness this, and we are here to share this powerful message with you, precious saints, precious people, as witnesses of this with our very own eyes and ears. We have been allowed to see those who have been blind being able to see, those who have been diagnosed with HIV/AIDS healed, confirmed by CDC Atlanta, confirmed by many, many medical institutions. We have seen leprosy healed, just like in the days of the Bible. We have seen the cripples getting up and walking, from very young babies to old, those who have been crippled for the majority of their lives are getting up and walking. We have been allowed to see what it is to see a cripple get up and walk. These are powerful days, precious saints. And all these miracles are just the signs that are pointing to the return of the Messiah. It is time to prepare, precious saints, in complete surrender. It is time to heed to this powerful message, as these are messages that are coming directly from our Lord in heaven. And these are the messages that are sent to the saints of the earth so that we may prepare. These are the days that the Lord himself is establishing, constructing his church. The world's church is a false church, and we have seen this, as we have seen that they desire the kingdom of man, the kingdom of this world. They desire business, growth. They like the wealth. They like the cars. They like the big buildings. They like to fill up the pews and give messages that are sweet to the ears of the flesh. They are not preaching against all sin. They are not preaching holiness. Precious saints, it is time to surrender your hearts to the Lord. In complete surrender, it is time to turn away from the wickedness of this world. It is time to prepare in the spirit, to prepare to enter the kingdom of heaven, precious saints. I want to read from the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And I will read from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. Foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars, along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready, precious saints, went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Precious saints, these are the days of warning. These are the days to prepare, as these scriptures are being revealed. And we know that you cannot buy the oil from the world, which is what the other church is doing. Only the Holy Spirit could fill our lamps, can fill our jars, and can reveal the truth of the word, of his word, of the kingdom of heaven, of how we are to prepare, precious saints. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Hallelujah, and thank you, Pastor Jose. Precious listeners, it's an impassioned plea, and you heard that this is the hour, this is the moment in time to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. This is the time to turn away from sin and to engage righteousness fully. This is a time to separate from the world. And we pray in Jesus' mighty name that the Lord will continue to open the spiritual ears, continue to open the spiritual eyes of all the listeners that he has brought forth, and the remnant bride in the United States of America, and even the global listeners. And we thank you, mighty Holy Spirit, for preparing your remnant. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Before we get to the message, one last comment, Pastor Raymond, if you're still with us from Maryland Altar, you have a few minutes. Pastor Raymond, what does the Lord put on your heart this evening before the message of the Lord?
I don't really have too much to add. I just want to thank God for bringing us together again today in the prophecy of the midnight hour. And I just want to continue to urge everybody that you don't know the day or the hour. Therefore, try to live a morally correct life, morally blameless life, as the mighty prophet said, because everybody's eyes is on the church, and our actions will determine whether we win souls over or whether people blaspheme the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom, Pastor Lou and Pastor Jose, and everybody listening today.
Shalom.
And shalom, Pastor Raymond, and thank you for sharing. Amen. Let's go to part one of the segment, Oil and Wine Church, beginning Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, and we'll hear from the mighty prophet and be back a few moments after the message.
Lift up your hands, everybody.
Inueni mikono yenu kila mtu.
Let us pray right away.
Wacha tuombe mara moja.
Mighty Father, the God of Israel, the Redeemer and Savior of all men, Father, be glorified here tonight, that these people in their ears, they may be alert. Jehovah, be glorified, that in their eyes they may see in the spiritual realm, and prepare the way for the glorious coming of the Messiah. Father, teach them your ways, establish righteousness in their hearts, beginning this moment on. You who is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the mighty God of Jacob, the God of Elijah and Moses, Yehovah Eloheinu, Yehovah Elroy, El Shaddai, mighty Father in heaven, now you can establish your Holy Spirit in this service, in the mighty name of Jesus, and minister to their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. What a blessing to be before the Lord at this very, very important time in the history of the Church of Christ. This generation is a blessed generation. That you may live to hear this. That you may live to hear these pronouncements regarding the coming of the Messiah. I looked at the most important conversation
niliangazia mazungumzo ya muhimu zaidi
that the Lord has ever had with the church.
ambayo Bwana amewahi kuwa nayo na kanisa.
That conversation,
hayo mazungumzo,
I went very wide and deep.
Niliingia kilindini sana na kwa upana.
And I said,
na nikasema,
that the Mount of Olives prophecy,
ya kwamba unabii wa mlima wa mizeituni,
the prophecy that Jesus gave,
unabii ambao Yesu alipeana,
when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives,
alipokuwa ameketi kwenye mlima wa mizeituni,
when he spoke to his disciples,
alipowanenea wanafunzi wake,
about his own return,
juu ya kurudi kwake mwenyewe,
about the signs,
juu ya dalili,
of the coming of the Messiah,
za kuja kwake Mesia.
And I said,
na nikasema,
that is the most central prophecy in the whole Bible,
ya kwamba huo ndio unabii wa shina zaidi katika Biblia yote nzima.
Combined,
Biblia yote nzima ikiwekwa pamoja.
The whole Bible put together,
Biblia yote nzima pamoja.
Why?
Kwa nini?
Because in that prophecy,
kwa sababu katika unabii huo,
the Lord gives out,
Bwana anapeana,
he confides in the church,
anafichua kwa kanisa,
and releases the secrets of heaven,
na kuziachilia siri za mbinguni.
And now we know,
na sasa tunajua,
that surely what he released on the Mount of Olives,
ya kwamba kwa hakika alichokiachilia kwa mlima wa mizeituni,
was the hidden secret of God Almighty in heaven,
zilikuwa siri fiche za Mungu mkuu mwenyezi mbinguni.
Why?
Kwa nini?
Because,
kwa sababu,
I told you,
niliwaambia,
that the Mount of Olives prophecy,
ya kwamba unabii wa mlima wa mizeituni,
how powerful it is,
jinsi ulivyo wa nguvu,
how glorious it is,
na jinsi ulivyo wa utukufu,
is found in the glorious gospels,
unapatikana katika injili za utukufu.
And I said,
na nikasema,
that in Matthew, we found it in Matthew chapter 24.
Ya kwamba katika Mathayo, tunaupata katika Mathayo 24.
And yet, in Mark,
na ilihali katika Mariko,
we found it in Mark 13.
Tuaupata katika Mariko 13.
But in Luke,
lakini katika Luka,
he recorded it in Luke 21.
Aliuandika katika Luka 21.
And I said,
na nikasema,
that it was very shocking,
ya kwamba ilikuwa ya kushangaza sana,
that John did not record it,
ya kwamba Yohana hakuuandika.
But later,
baadaye,
we understood,
tukaelewa,
why John left it out?
Kwa nini Yohana hakuandika?
Because John was put apart.
Ni kwa sababu Yohana alitengwa.
Put aside.
Aliwekwa kando.
Separated.
Alitengwa.
By the Holy Spirit.
Na Roho Mtakatifu.
That he may receive,
ya kwamba akapokee,
the revelation regarding that prophecy,
ufunuo juu ya unabii huo.
So it was no mistake,
na basi halikuwa kosa,
that you don't find it in the book of John,
ya kwamba haupati katika kitabu cha Yohana.
John, eventually we saw,
hatimaye tukaona ya kwamba Yohana
received the revelation on the Olivet prophecy.
Aliupokea ufunuo wa unabii wa Olivet.
And he recorded it in Revelation chapter 6.
Na akauandika katika ufunuo mlango wa 6.
The summary of the book of Revelation.
Muktasari wa kitabu cha ufunuo.
That Revelation chapters 1, 2 and 3.
Ya kwamba ufunuo mlango wa kwanza, wa pili na wa tatu.
They speak repentance.
Inanena toba.
Revelation 1, 2, 3.
Ufunuo mlango wa kwanza, wa pili na wa tatu.
You see the Lord speaking to the church.
Unaona Bwana akilinenea kanisa.
Return to your first love.
Rudia upendo wako wa kwanza.
Repent and do the thing you used to do at first.
Tubu na ukayatende matendo yale uliyoyatenda mwanzoni.
He says,
anasema,
in Sardis there are those who have not soiled their garments.
Kule Sardi kuna wale ambao hawajayachafua mavazi yao.
And they will walk with the Lamb of God.
Na watatembea na mwanakondoo wa Mungu.
Revelation chapters 1, 2, 3.
Ufunuo mlango wa kwanza, wa pili na wa tatu.
Repentance.
Toba.
And then we went to Revelation chapter 4.
Na kisha tukaenda kwa ufunuo mlango wa nne.
I'm just touching base, then I will take off. You understand?
Ninaweka msingi, kisha nitaendelea.
I'm just touching base. Chapter 4, we saw that it discusses the throne of God.
Mlango wa nne, tuliona ya kwamba, anajadili juu ya kiti cha enzi cha Mungu.
And that around the throne of God, there are 24 other thrones.
Na ya kwamba kukizunguka kiti cha enzi cha Mungu, kuna viti vingine vya enzi 24.
With 24 elders.
Na wazee 24.
And we saw their worship before the Father.
Na tukaona ibada yao mbele za Baba.
That when they worship, they lay down their crowns.
Ya kwamba wanapoabudu, wanaweka chini taji zao.
And then I asked.
Na kisha nikauliza.
I say the church has many crowns today.
Nikasema kwamba kanisa lina taji nyingi leo.
And then I asked.
Na kisha nikauliza.
Je. Has she laid down her crown?
Je, kanisa limeweka chini taji zake.
Has she worshipped the Lord?
Linapomwabudu Bwana.
Then the answer was no.
Na kisha jibu likawa la.
She's worshipping with crowns.
Linaabudu na taji.
I said there is an import. There's something we can borrow from there.
Nikasema kuna jambo la muhimu. Kuna jambo tunaloweza kujifunza toka pale.
To refine our worship of the Lord, right?
Ili kutakasa ibada yetu kwa Bwana.
Now listen to this.
Sasa sikiza haya.
Then I went to Revelation chapter 5.
Kisha nikaenda kwa ufunuo mlango wa 5.
And I said, it talks about the scroll of God.
Na nikasema, unanena juu ya gombo la Mungu.
And I went a little deeper on the scroll of God.
Na nikaingia kilindini kiasi juu ya gombo la Mungu.
When I took you back to when the Lord spoke and asked Jeremiah to write in the scroll.
Wakati nilipowarejesha nyuma, mahali ambapo Bwana alinena na akamwambia Yeremia aiandike katika gombo.
And then,
na kisha,
I told you that the scroll of God is a precious document of God.
Nikawaambia ya kwamba gombo la Mungu ni kitabu cha dhamani cha Mungu.
In which he puts his decrees, his covenant with man.
Ambamo anaweka sheria zake, agano lake na mwanadamu.
And then I went to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3.
Na kisha nikaenda katika Wakorintho wa pili, mlango wa 3 mstari wa 3.
Where now we see a spiritual kind of scroll.
Ambapo sasa tunaona aina la kiroho la gombo.
Second Corinthians 3:3.
Wakorintho wa pili tatu tatu.
Where we see that this other scroll now.
Ambapo tuona kwamba hili gombo lingine sasa.
In this dispensation.
Katika majira haya.
Is not written by ink.
Halijaandikwa kwa wino.
And pen.
Na kalamu.
But now it is written by the ink of the Holy Spirit.
Lakini sasa limeandikwa kwa wino wa Roho Mtakatifu.
And you are the letters of that scroll.
Na wewe ndiwe herufi za hilo gombo.
Nobody heard me. You are the letters of that scroll.
Wewe ndiwe herufi za hilo gombo.
That God is writing using the Holy Spirit.
Ambayo Bwana anaandika kumtumia Roho Mtakatifu.
And I say it because the Holy Spirit is eternal life.
Na nikasema kwa sababu Roho Mtakatifu ni uzima wa milele.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He is eternal life.
Yeye ni uzima wa milele.
So we saw that because the Holy Spirit, he bestows life into the church.
Na tukaona ya kwamba kwa sababu Roho Mtakatifu analeta uzima kanisani.
He brings life to men.
Analeta uzima kwa wanadamu.
So if the Holy Spirit is going to be the ink for writing the scroll of this hour.
Na basi ikiwa Roho Mtakatifu atakuwa wino wa kuandika gombo la saa hii.
Of this dispensation.
Gombo la majira haya.
Then that means that writing, that scroll has writings that are permanent.
Basi hiyo inamaanisha hilo gombo lina maandiko yaliyo ya kudumu milele.
Nobody heard me. You know, when you write with ink and water drops on the ink, it blots out.
Kwa kawaida ukiandika kwa wino na kisha maji yaangukie hayo maandishi yatafutika.
But when you write by the Holy Spirit, they don't blot out.
Lakini ukiandika kwa Roho Mtakatifu hayatawahi kufutika.
And he said that the writing of the Holy Spirit.
Na akasema ya kwamba maandishi ya Roho Mtakatifu.
Of the scroll.
Ya gombo.
When he writes the scroll, that he does not write on the papyrus, on the stone tablets anymore.
Ya kwamba anapoandika kwenye lile gombo, haandiki tena kwa mafunjo ama kwa vibao vya mawe tena.
But he writes on your heart.
Lakini anaandika kwa mioyo yenu.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm just laying a foundation. We've not started.
Ninajenga tu msingi. Bado hatujaanza.
Then I said.
Na kisha nikasema.
That in Revelation chapter 5, there was a crisis because there was need to find somebody.
Ya kwamba katika Ufunuo mlango wa tano, kulikuwepo na dhiki kwa sababu kulikuwa na hitaji la kumpata mtu.
Who could open the scroll?
Ambaye angekifungua kile kitabu wa magombo.
They searched in heaven.
Wakatafuta mbinguni.
Above the heaven.
Juu ya mbingu.
Under the heaven.
Chini ya mbingu.
On the earth.
Duniani.
Under the earth.
Na chini ya inchi.
And no man was found.
Na hakuna mtu aliyepatikana.
That could open the scroll of God.
Ambaye angeweza kulifungua gombo la Mungu.
And there was weeping and distress.
Na kukawa na kulia na dhiki.
Angustia.
Matata.
Anxiousness.
Shida.
Until one of the elders stood up and said, stop weeping.
Hadi moja wapo ya wale wazee 24 akasimama na kusema, wacha kulia.
Because now the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Maana sasa simba wa kabila la Yuda.
The root of David.
Shina la Daudi.
The son of the living God.
Mwana wa Mungu aliye hai.
Emmanuel.
Emmanueli.
The son of man.
Mwana wa Adamu.
the Prince of Peace,
Mfalme wa Amani,
the Lord of Lords,
Bwana wa Mabwana,
the King of all Kings,
Mfalme wa Wafalme wote,
Wonderful Counselor,
Mshauri wa Ajabu,
Redeemer,
Mukombozi,
Savior,
Mwokozi,
Master,
Bwana.
Now he has triumphed.
Sasa ameshinda.
So don't weep.
Basi usilie.
They said,
Wakasema,
he is able to open the scroll.
Anaweza kulifungua lile gombo.
That is, I say, that is what saved me.
Nikasema hicho ndicho kilichoniokoa.
That the scroll of God can be opened.
Ya kwamba gombo la Mungu laweza kufunguliwa.
It saved me.
Ili niokoa.
Otherwise I would have no salvation.
La sivyo singe kuwa na wokovu.
Nothing.
Hakuna chochote.
Listen to this now.
Sikiza haya sasa.
When we move to Revelation chapter 6.
Tulipoingia katika Ufunuo mlango wa sita.
Where now John deposited the transcript.
Ambapo sasa Yohana aliwekeza ile tafsiri yake.
The translation.
Tafsiri yake.
Of the Mount of Olives prophecy.
Tafsiri ya unabii wa mlima wa Mizeituni.
Then at that place we saw that the scroll has seven seals.
Kisha mahali pale tukaona ya kwamba gombo lina mihuri saba.
Seven seals.
Mihuri saba.
Again, I want to repeat this.
Na tena ningependa kurudia hii.
The scroll of God in heaven has seven seals.
Gombo la Mungu mbinguni lina mihuri saba.
The scroll is like this. Something like this, a piece of paper like this.
Gombo ni kipande cha kikaratasi kama hiyo.
Scroll.
Gombo.
And it has seven seals.
Na liko na mihuri saba.
And when each one of the seals is broken.
Na wakati kila moja wapo ya hiyo mihuri inavunjwa.
There is a prophecy that is fulfilled.
Kunao unabii unaotimizwa.
And I said,
Nani kasema,
that out of the seven seals,
ya kwamba toka kwa hiyo mihuri saba,
only the first four are important for you, the church.
Ni ile mihuri nne ya kwanza iliyo ya muhimu kwako wewe kanisa.
You didn't hear me. I said,
Nilisema,
that out of the seven seals,
kwamba toka kwa ile mihuri saba,
only the first four,
ni ile mihuri ya nne ya kwanza peke,
define the prophetic events,
inaelezea matukio ya kinabii,
that lead to rapture,
yanayoongoza kwa unyakuzi.
And so, I started giving you some of the prophecies,
na basi nikaanza kwa kuwapa baadhi ya unabii,
the Lord has given me, which I have prophesied and come to pass.
Ambao Bwana amenipa na nimetabiri na ukaja kutimia.
I mentioned the earthquakes.
Nilitaja matetemeko ya ardhi.
You can see how the Lord sent me there to warn them about the Haiti earthquake before it came.
Waweza kuona jinsi Bwana alinituma kule niwaonye dhidi ya tetemeko la ardhi la Haiti kabla lije.
November 22nd.
November tarehe 22.
23rd I was in Puerto Plata.
Na 23 nilikuwa Puerto Plata.
November 24th I was in the city of Santiago.
November tarehe 24 nilikuwa katika mji wa Santiago.
November 26th, 7th and 8th I was in the city of Higüe.
November tarehe 26, 27 na 28 nilikuwa katika mji wa Higüe.
And I said,
Nani kasema,
a historic earthquake is coming here.
Tetemeko la ardhi la kihistoria linakuja hapa.
If they don't repent.
Wasipotubu.
Repent from what?
Watubu toka kwa nini?
Sexual sin.
Dhambi za uasherati.
Sexual lust.
Tamaa za kiuasherati.
Immorality.
Uzinzi.
Homosexuality.
Ushoga.
Witchcraft.
Uchawi.
The gospel of prosperity in the church.
Injili ya ufanisi kanisani.
The lack of holiness in the church.
Ukosefu wa utakatifu kanisani.
The false prophets in the church.
Manabii wa uongo kanisani.
False apostles.
Mitume wa uongo.
The falsehood in the church.
Udanganyifu kanisani.
I said.
Nikasema.
And we saw that in less than 2 months that prophecy was fulfilled.
Na tukaona ya kwamba kwa chini ya miezi miwili unabii huo ukatimizwa.
The Haiti earthquake, same thing.
Tetemeko la ardhi la Haiti, jambo lile lile.
South Korea, and I warn them that there is going to be a shootout at the border because I have come now.
Korea Kusini, na nikawaonya ya kwamba kutakuwepo na kulipuana mpakani, maana sasa nimekuja.
And you see what happened from 29th.
Na mnaona kilichotokea kuanzia tarehe 29.
Gunfire at the DMZ.
Kulipuana pale kwa DMZ.
Of South Korea.
Korea Kusini.
Many prophecies I gave.
Unabii mwingi niliopeana.
But.
Lakini.
I gave you the prophecy of the rider of the black horse. I'm just laying a foundation really.
Niliwapeni unabii wa mpanda farasi wa farasi mweusi. Lakini kumbuka ninajenga tu msingi.
I began by giving the prophecy of the global economic crisis.
Nilianza kwa kupeana unabii wa shida za kiuchumi za kote duniani.
That I gave.
Ambao nilipeana.
And in less than 2 months fulfilled.
Na chini ya miezi miwili ukatimia.
The vision of August 19th night.
Maono ya Agosti tarehe 19 usiku.
2008.
2008.
And then I went on.
Na kisha nikaendelea.
To give the vision of July 29th.
Kupeana maono ya July tarehe 29.
2009.
2009.
When I was sleeping on the floor in Johannesburg.
Nilipokuwa nimelala kwenye sakafu Johannesburg.
With my bag as the pillow for 24 hours.
Na begi yangu kama pillow kwa masaa 24.
The black horse global economic crisis.
Farasi mweusi, shida za kiuchumi za kote duniani.
We are going to dwell there today.
Tunaenda kuangazia hayo leo.
The global recession that you see happening now.
Mporomoko wa kiuchumi wa kote duniani unaoona ukitendeka hivi sasa.
Fulfilled then until now.
Ulitimizwa wakati huo hadi leo.
When the lamb opened the first of the seven seals.
Na sasa wakati mwanakondoo alipofungua muhuri wa kwanza katika zile saba.
Just read it. Revelation chapter 6 as I begin to take off now.
Tusome Ufunuo mlango wa 6 ninapoanza sasa kuendelea.
Revelation chapter 6. That's where I'm dwelling today.
Ufunuo mlango wa 6 hapo ndipo ninaposhughulikia leo.
And I said you will now be able to read the book of Revelation and teach it.
Na nikasema sasa utaweza kusoma kitabu cha Ufunuo na kukifunza.
You can literally teach it to anybody.
Waweza kukifunza kwa mtu yeyote.
Verse 1 of Revelation chapter 6 he says.
Mstari wa kwanza wa Ufunuo mlango wa 6 anasema.
He says, I watched as the lamp opened the first of the seven seals.
Anasema kisha nikatazama mwana kondoo alipovunja ule muhuri wa kwanza katika zile saba.
Then I heard one of the four living creatures say.
Kisha nikasikia moja wapo wa wale viumbe wanne wenye uhai akisema.
In a loud voice like thunder.
Kwa sauti kuu kama ya radi.
Come.
Njoo.
I looked and there before me was a white horse.
Nikatazama na mbele yangu alikuwepo farasi mweupe.
Its rider held a bow.
Yeye aliyempanda alikuwa na uta.
And he was given a crown.
naye akapewa taji.
He rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest.
Akatoka akishinda ili apate kushinda.
We came from the Olivet prophecy.
Tulitoka kwa unabii wa Olivet.
Matthew 24.
Mathayo 24.
When the Lord said,
wakati Bwana aliposema,
he was giving the secrets.
Alikuwa akitoa zile siri.
Of the things that will happen right before he returns.
Siri za vitu vitakavyotendeka pale ya kabla ya kuja kwake.
And he said,
na akasema,
there would be deception.
Kutakuwepo na udanganyifu.
And I explained to you who the rider of this white horse is.
Na nikawaelezeni huyu mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe ni nani.
And I said, he brings deception to the church.
Na nikasema ya kwamba analeta udanganyifu kanisani.
Because Jesus is in Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 to 21.
Maana Yesu yuko katika Ufunuo mlango wa 19 mstari wa 11 hadi 21.
That white horse is the Messiah.
Huyo farasi mweupe ni Mesia.
And I shared with you the vision of the golden wedding ring.
Na nikashiriki pamoja nanyi maono ya pete za harusi za dhahabu.
Of November 1, 3 a.m. in the morning.
Ya November tarehe moja ya pata saa 9 za asubuhi.
Which speaks about the wedding of the Lamb of God.
Inayonena juu ya harusi ya mwanakondoo wa Mungu.
I also told you about how the voice told me, look and see.
Pia nikawaambieni juu ya vile sauti ilivyoniambia, tazama na ukaone.
Who is seated on the white horse?
Ni nani aliyempanda farasi mweupe?
That white horse you see in Revelation 19.
Huyo farasi mweupe unayemuona katika Ufunuo 19.
11 to 21.
11 mpaka 21.
And so you see that when the Lamb opens the first of the seven seals.
Na basi unaona ya kwamba wakati mwanakondoo anaufungua muhuri wa kwanza katika zile saba.
The white horseman released is not Jesus.
Mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe anayeachiliwa si Yesu.
Because the Lord Jesus has many crowns.
Maana Bwana Yesu ana taji nyingi.
This one has one crown.
Lakini huyu ana taji moja.
The Lord Jesus, he comes with a sword, a flaming sword.
Bwana Yesu anakuja na upanga, upanga uwakao moto.
From his mouth.
Toka kwa kinywa chake.
To strike down the nations.
Ili kuwapiga mataifa.
That are rebellious.
Mataifa yaliyo na uasi.
Rebellion.
Uasi.
Sin.
Dhambi.
But this rider of the white horse of the apocalypse.
Lakini huyu mpanda farasi wa farasi mweupe wa ufunuo.
He comes with bows.
Anakuja na upinde.
Which means he has arrows.
Kumaanisha kwamba ana mishale.
Though they are not mentioned there.
Ingawaje haijatajwa pale.
The deception you see in the church today.
Udanganyifu unauona kanisani leo.
Is the fulfillment of that prophecy.
Ni kutimizwa kwa unabii huo.
The love of money you see in the church of Christ today.
Upendo wa pesa unaouona katika kanisa la Kristo leo.
Comes from his release.
Unatokana na kuachiliwa kwake.
Make sure you get the message really.
Hakikisha kwamba unaupata ujumbe.
The love of money you see in the church today.
Upendo wa pesa unaouona kanisani leo.
Emanates.
Unatokana
from the falsehood.
Na ule udanganyifu.
That has now been established in the church.
Ambao sasa umeimarishwa kanisani.
By this horseman.
Na huyu mpanda farasi.
By the breaking of the first seal. Ta.
Na kuvunjwa kwa muhuri wa kwanza.
Na kufungua.
Na kufungua.
And that's why I say it. Everything Jesus released on the Mount of Olives.
Na ndio maana nilisema ya kwamba kila kitu ambacho Yesu aliachilia kwa mlima wa Mizeituni.
Were secrets.
Zilikuwa siri.
Because now we are seeing that they are hidden inside the scroll of God in heaven.
Maana sasa tunaona ya kwamba zimefichika katika gombo la Mungu Mwenyezi mbinguni.
So let me read for you just to compare the two.
Basi wacha ni wasomeni kulinganisha haya mawili.
We read from Matthew 24.
Tulisoma toka kwa Mathayo 24.
Which is actually the Mount of Olives prophecy.
Ambao kwa hakika ni unabii wa mlima wa Mizeituni.
And we saw that when Jesus gave that prophecy.
Na tukaona ya kwamba wakati Yesu alipeana unabii huo.
It became the most central prophecy in the whole Bible combined.
Ulifanyika unabii wa shina zaidi katika Biblia yote nzima pamoja.
The whole Bible put together.
Biblia yote nzima ikiwekwa pamoja.
We saw that all the other prophecies actually just circulate, revolve, rotate around this central prophecy.
Tukaona ya kwamba kwa hakika unabii mwingine wote unazunguka, unazingira tu huu unabii mkuu wa shina.
So let us read Matthew 24 that you may be on the same page.
Basi tusome Mathayo 24 ili muwe katika ukurasa sawa.
He says,
anasema,
Matthew 24 verse 1.
Mathayo 24 mstari wa kwanza.
Jesus left the temple and was walking away.
Yesu akatoka hekaluni na alipokuwa akienda zake.
When his disciples came up to him to call his attention to his building.
Wanafunzi wake wakamwendea ili kumuonyesha majengo ya hekalu.
And I said,
na nikasema,
in that calling of attention,
katika kule kumuonesha ama kuvuta umakinifu wake,
they were trying to emphasize on the architecture.
Walikuwa wakijaribu kusisitiza juu ya muundo wa ujenzi.
The beauty.
Ule urembo.
The gifts of gold used to adorn it.
Zawadi ama sadaka za dhahabu zilizotumika kuupamba.
To beautify it.
Kupamba hilo jengo.
Then he broke their heart.
Na kisha akaivunja mioyo yao.
When he said,
aliposema,
I tell you the truth.
Amin na waambieni,
this building will be brought down with this other building.
Hili jengo litabomoshwa na majengo yake yote.
And no stone will be left on another.
Na hakuna jiwe litakalobaki juu ya jingine.
That's what you see there.
Hicho ndicho unachokiona pale.
And then he went on, they asked him.
Na kisha wakamuuliza,
because they understood he was talking about the signs of his coming.
Maana walielewa ya kwamba alikuwa ananena juu ya dalili za kuja kwake.
And
na pia
the end of the age.
Mwisho wa dunia.
So they asked him.
Basi wakamuuliza,
Lord, what will be the sign?
Bwana, ni zipi zitakazokuwa dalili?
Of your coming and of the end of the age.
Za kuja kwako na za mwisho wa dunia.
Then he revealed the secret.
Na kisha akazifunua zile siri.
Verse 4 he says.
Mstari wa nne anasema.
Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you.
Yesu akawajibu, jihadharini mtu asiwadanganye.
For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ.
Kwa maana wengi watakuja kwa jina langu, wakidai mimi ndiye Kristo.
And will deceive many.
Nao watawadanganya wengi.
And I said, that is the first key, the first path.
Na nikasema kwamba huo ndio ufunguo wa kwanza, awamu ya kwanza.
Of the most important prophecy.
Ya unabii ulio wa muhimu zaidi.
But Jesus ever gave.
Ambao Yesu alipeana.
That is the first important prophecy key.
Huo ndio ufunguo wa kwanza wa unabii.
In the Olivet prophecy.
Katika unabii wa Olivet.
Deception.
Udanganyifu.
The Lord said that right before he returns.
Bwana alisema ya kwamba pale kabla ya kurudi kwake.
There will be a lot of deception in the church.
Kutakuwepo na udanganyifu mwingi kanisani.
Why the church?
Kwa nini kanisa?
Because the disciples had come to him privately.
Kwa sababu wanafunzi walikuwa wamemjia faragani.
Verse 3.
Mstari wa 3.
They came to him privately.
Walimjia faragani.
When he sat on the rock.
Alipokuwa ameketi kwenye mwamba.
So he was talking to the disciples.
Na kwa hivyo alikuwa anawanenea wanafunzi.
And at that time they represented the pastors.
Na wakati huo waliwawakilisha wachungaji.
They represented the priesthood.
Waliwakilisha ukuhani.
They represented the church.
Waliwakilisha kanisa.
So the Lord was warning that lies, falsehood.
Na basi Bwana alikuwa akionya ya kwamba uongo, udanganyifu.
Deception.
Uongo.
Would come to the church.
Utakuja kanisani.
So that is very critical.
Na basi hiyo ni nyeti sana.
So when you see that the first seal is broken.
Na basi unapoona ya kwamba muhuri wa kwanza unavunjwa.
In the book of Revelation.
Kwenye kitabu cha Ufunuo.
The first seal is broken. Revelation chapter 6.
Muhuri wa kwanza unavunjwa katika Ufunuo mlango wa sita.
And you see that he who wants to look like Christ, who wants to deceive that he is Christ.
Na unaona kwamba yeye anayetaka kuonekana kama Kristo, anayetaka kudanganya kwamba ni Kristo.
When he comes now,
anapokuja sasa,
his name is deception.
Jina lake ni udanganyifu.
He fulfills this prophecy.
Anatimiza unabii huu.
And I say, he unleashed lies in the church.
Na nikasema, aliachilia uongo kanisani.
And I asked a question.
Na nikauliza swali.
Why would God send such a man to the church?
Kwa nini Mungu amtume mtu wa aina hii kanisani?
And I said,
na nikasema,
when the house of God,
wakati nyumba ya Mungu,
in Israel,
kule Israeli,
refused to listen to Jeremiah,
ilikataa kumsikiza Yeremia,
not just in the United States.
When the house of Jehovah,
wakati nyumba ya Jehovah,
refused to listen to the prophet of the Lord Jeremiah,
walikataa kumsikiza nabii wa Bwana Yeremia,
they were in evil,
walikuwa katika uovu,
falsehood,
udanganyifu.
They were sleeping with women at the door of the temple.
Walikuwa wanalala na wanawake kwenye mlango wa hekalu.
The house of God had false prophets.
Nyumba ya Mungu ilikuwa na manabii wa uongo.
They were coming to take women from the church back to their home.
Walikuwa wakija kuchukua wanawake toka kwenye kanisa wapeleke makwao.
Women were coming to take men.
Na wanawake walikuwa wakija kuchukua wanaume.
Then God asked Jeremiah to tell them to repent.
Kisha Mungu akamuuliza Yeremia awaambie watubu.
Jeremiah was standing in the valley of Ben Hinnom.
Yeremia alikuwa amesimama katika bonde la Ben Hinnom.
Immorality and homosexuality in the United States is now an accepted way of life. We have it legalized in many states where we have same-sex marriages, significant others, and the Bible is clear over and over again from Revelation to Genesis that those that practice such abominations, homosexuality, will not enter the kingdom of God. If they don't repent, don't recycle back to sin and return to the Lord in holiness and righteousness, the ways of men, they do change. But the holiness and righteousness of the Lord, he changes not. And so we also heard witchcraft and the gospel of prosperity, which oftentimes go hand in hand in the United States of America and the church, where the pastors are clamoring for offering, clamoring for tithes, clamoring and emotionally wheedling and manipulating the flock. We see this repeatedly throughout the church. Such a stench, such a foul stench has emanated from the church that many will just stay and prefer to stay on the outside than to be defiled by the constant preaching of money and worshiping of Baal in the house of the Lord. And then finally we heard about the lack of holiness in the church with the false prophets, where there is no fear of the Lord. They're not called prophets, they weren't called by the Lord. They called themselves, or they went to schools of prophets, which is the same as the school of blasphemy. And you've heard us here repeat many times, and worth repeating again, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18 is the acid test for the prophet. That's the one the Lord calls. That's the one that will lead you into the kingdom of God, not away from the kingdom of God. That's the one that will point to the coming of the Messiah, not to the coming of the Antichrist or the things of the world. That's the one that will rebuke sin, as we see in Lamentations chapter 2. In fact, let's read Lamentations chapter 2. This is Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. And this is the word from the Lord, Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. And then this will be in the New International Version and also in the King James Version. Your prophets have seen for you false and foolish visions, and they have not exposed your iniquity so as to restore you from captivity, but they have seen for you false and misleading oracles. That's Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Your prophets have seen for you, O America and church in America, false and foolish visions. Haven't we heard that? The visions of wealth transfer, the visions of a new car and new house and things of the world. And they have not exposed the iniquity of the church. They have not prepared the church for the coming of the Messiah. They covered over homosexual sin, sexual sin, immorality, and all manner of worldliness, and in fact have even encouraged it. And so we see that the church is captive to sin, and they have seen false and misleading oracles and visions. That's Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. That's the false prophets and the false apostles and the falsehood in the church, where lying is the currency instead of righteousness, where no one fears the Lord. Pastors will make up stories. Pastors will make up stories to entertain the church, and the church has become a center of entertainment instead of fear and reverence and holiness unto the Lord. And finally, as a recap, as we get to the next segment this Sunday, and as the Lord leads, we'll get to part two of the message. Before we get to the rest of the summary, Pastor Jose, if you're still with us, the last message got cut just a little bit short, and we'll get a chance to recover that also on the next segment this Sunday as the Lord leads. But what has the Lord placed on your heart for this evening segment?
Shalom, Pastor Lou and precious saints.
Pastor Jose, are you with us, or are you on mute right now? Okay. Let's take very briefly another scripture that the Lord has been speaking consistently to the church, and we see this as we just covered the false teachers, and false apostles, and false prophets. This is Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, and we will see in the word of the Lord the full circle that the church, especially here in the United States of America, has come. Ezekiel chapter 34, and we'll start at verse 1. This is Ezekiel 34, New King James Version. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. That's Ezekiel chapter 34, just four verses, verses 1 through 4. And in Ezekiel 34, we find the target scripture, verse 11, just skipping down briefly to verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. That's Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 13, and the Lord continues on in the scripture. And we see, but as you look at the shepherds throughout the nation, it's easy to see the nation itself. For the shepherds are supposed to lead the nation, the moral compass of the nation, the righteous backbone of the nation, and the church. And when we see the church in the condition that it's in, when we see the sexual sin, the short skirts, the crop tops, the tight trousers, the mini shorts, where women will come into church with very tight and revealing clothing, we know that there's no fear of the Lord there. And the sin is not being rebuked. In fact, it's being tolerated. And in many churches today, they've been turned into social clubs. And while the children of the Lord are clamoring for righteousness and holiness in the word of the Lord, because there's been a famine in the land, we started off the top of the segment, Amos chapter 8, verse 11, a famine in the land, a famine of hearing the word of the Lord, because all that is remaining in the church has been sexual sin and sexual lust and immorality. And we've reached the point now where the shepherds have so abandoned the church, we have a homosexuality being exported, not just in the United States, but now we're exporting it across the globe. We're evangelizing this across the globe. And we wonder why it is that the revival that is global seems slow to pick up here. Could it be because we love our money so much and we love our sexual sin so much that our consciences have been seared, our spiritual eyes have been blinded, and our spiritual ears have been deafened? Well did the Lord prophesy when he spoke to Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And we see that sin will blind our eyes and deafen our ears. And the sin that's in the church, when you hear repentance, these are the sins that have defiled the garment of the Lord. These are the sins that rule the nation, where everyone is driven for money and greedy for gain. We have people that are so greedy for gain that they will work nonstop. We see greedy for gain, where we have dedicated financial and speculation running 24/7. And well did the scripture prophesy, where they can't wait for the Sabbath to end so they can go about buying and selling. And as we saw also in Matthew 25 with the foolish virgins, they went out to buy. And that has been the mindset in a country that has worshipped at the altar of Baal, has bowed down to the Ashtoreth pole, has bowed down to the dollar. We bring all nations all over the world for that American dollar and for money. And the church has now been spreading that gospel. And we heard the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of corruption, the gospel that does not belong in the church. It originated in the pit of hell. And we need to repent of that all throughout the United States. And you can see it. It's not too difficult to identify. And we'll see many messages. And usually in that title, you will hear an I or a you. And we know immediately, but when you see that, they're not referencing the kingdom of God. They're referencing the kingdom of man. But the Lord has sent his servant to point us to the kingdom of God, the true oracles of the Lord, the secrets of the kingdom of God, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. For the Lord knew it would be thick darkness, particularly in places like the United States of America. And so the Lord has sent his servant with the secrets of the kingdom of God, and the mighty Holy Spirit is reviving the remnant in the United States and reviving entire nations throughout the globe. We heard at the top of this segment, Pastor Jose was sharing the global revival, and every bit of it is true. Every bit of it is astonishing, from HIV and AIDS being healed. We've seen lepers with our own eyes cleansed. We've seen millions gather to receive the Lord, millions in one location to receive the Lord, worshiping for days on end, open heaven, all through the day and all through the night as they prepare for the coming of the Messiah. This end-time revival has touched nations and presidents and legislatures all across the globe. And yet in America, with our love of money and our love of sexual sin, I have seen that the conscience has been seared. And so this is a very encouraging word on the oil and wine church, but also a very stern warning. For heaven will not remain open forever. We read through Isaiah chapter 26. The morning dew does not last all day long. And so we work while it is still day, for night is indeed coming. And time is very, very short. And we see the distress of the nations. The black horse has not gone away. In fact, it's a developing story. The financial system is even weaker now than it was in 2008. And the Lord Jesus tells us firsthand and at point-blank range, do not store up treasure where thieves can steal and the moth can corrupt. But store up your treasures in heaven where neither thief nor moth and steal and corrupt. It's the love of the Lord that he's lavished on the church at these last moments at this midnight hour that he's lavished with the love, the four apocalyptic horsemen to prepare the church. It's also ripening the world, for we know what comes next in the great tribulation. But the Lord has sent us, the four horsemen, to awaken the bride, to refine the bride, and we will hear more in the message of the Lord in the second segment of the Oil and Wine Church. A very encouraging word on how the Lord has lavished the oil and wine on the remnant bride, the mighty Holy Spirit. That's that powerful end-time revival that's woven throughout Scripture, whether Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, whether Deuteronomy chapter 11, whether you're looking and reading to Joel 2, 28 through 32, and it goes on. This revival is for the preparation of the coming of the Messiah. Pastor Jose, I don't know if you were still with us or not. Are you there, Pastor Jose? Shalom, Pastor Jose. Maybe we have lost you for this segment. Okay. Hallelujah, precious listeners. We thank the Lord that we did have Pastor Jose at the beginning of the segment. We will be back on next Sunday, as the Lord leads, for part two of the Oil and Wine Church. This is Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. This is the prophecy of the four apocalyptic horsemen and a deeper revelation on the Oil and Wine Church. And until the next segment, we continue to pray here at Maryland Altar. And I know it's the prayer of the pastors that have also participated here, Pastor Jose Bobadilla from the California Altar, as well as Pastor Raymond Ruffel from the Maryland Altar, that the Lord would continue to draw the remnant bride, continue to open her spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, and continue to fill her with the mighty Holy Spirit, that she would walk in righteousness, that she would walk in holiness, that she would come out and be separate from the world, that she would be that bright light, a vessel of blessing and a vessel of honor, and not a vessel of wrath. And we pray all of this in agreement in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So until the next segment, and as the Lord leads, we thank the precious listeners for their time. You're listening to the prophecy at the midnight hour. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.